Good evening and welcome to Primetime Sports. Big Game, James McCarty with Jay Stenman as we are on the back half of a holiday weekend now. It was a long extended weekend. Hopefully everybody was able to enjoy some time with family, able to take a moment of silence or in some form or capacity, honor those who had given the ultimate sacrifice for us on what was Memorial Day on Monday. And what seems to really be the official kickstart for Midwesterners, at least specifically, towards what is the summer vacation for students or the summer break or whichever you'd want to consider it. The boats in the water, the docks put in the lakes, families opening up lake cabins, things of those sorts, and being able to create what is more memories and continue on traditions as we enter what is the upcoming summer season. I mean, by the end of this week, we'll be within a day of the month of June, and then all of a sudden it'll be College World Series time. It'll be the 4th of July, and we'll be off and running for the warm summer months. It already felt like it over the weekend, the midst of summer. I believe Dino, it was low 90s is what he had said Monday's temperature was. It was scorching hot for some. It was comfortable for others. I know for myself, I found my way to mowing the lawn. I had somebody else in the house that was replacing some brakes on a vehicle, and needless to say, there were tarps off for the holiday weekend with the summertime warmth that had welcomed us over that holiday extended weekend.
Yeah, it was in my book, it was hot. I mean, I got the yard mowed on Saturday, I believe it was, and even on Saturday it got a bit warm. No, actually, I take that back. It was Sunday, getting everything done, I believe. So, I mean, I got stuff done, and then we got ready to roll, but Saturday into Sunday. I can't even remember which day I did what, because standing outside for my daughter's graduation ceremony stuff, you didn't really want to hang outside of Shields after it was done, because it was pretty warm out and all these people standing there, and you're standing out right in the sun. There was a little breeze there. So even though it was 80, it felt hotter than 80. And then it got even hotter on Monday. So, it's nice to have the warm weather, not have to worry about whether or not you get to start your vehicle and let it run for a half an hour before you're able to go out and drive anywhere, because it's just absolutely, 50 below zero. But on the flip side of things, I'm one of those people that complain about the hot weather because I don't like it too hot. But this week is going to be like summer all week, and we'll have to adjust to it. But, I've got my outdoor chores around the house done for the next week or so, so I'll be good, until we have to mow the lawn again. So, but otherwise, having a warm weekend and a long weekend at that, a 3-day weekend, that was a pretty nice change of pace for me regarding things.
Yeah, with Memorial weekend as well coming and going, that means that all of college baseball, their conference tournaments have come and gone, and they've concluded. And for the Summit League, it was the 4 seed, which the Summit League does a double elimination 4-team bracket. It was South Dakota State, the Jackrabbits, upending the top-seeded Oral Roberts Golden Eagles squad. So South Dakota State back into the national tournament for baseball, which will begin this upcoming weekend. It's one of 16 regionals they'll be participating in, as they go to 13th national seed at Nebraska, which is kind of funny because that's where South Dakota went for softball a couple of weeks ago. And so it's a 4-team bracket with Nebraska and South Dakota State. They'll battle it out at 3 o'clock on Friday on ESPN+ in game one of that double elimination 4-team bracket. The other two teams that are participating in that Nebraska or that that regional out there in Lincoln, it's Arizona State and Ole Miss. And that game is scheduled for an 8 p.m. start on ESPNU on Friday evening. So you've got the Big Ten mixed in there. You've got Big 12, right? Arizona State, Big 12 now. Still a couple of teams I'm making sure I have correct. You have your typical SEC, one of a dozen teams in Ole Miss, and then South Dakota State, the lone representative from the Summit League, making it to the Lincoln Regional for that double elimination bracket. And I know that there are many people that maybe are uneducated, maybe they don't have a ton of care for college baseball, anything of that sort. It's become something that is a bit of a kind of a casual, passion, if that almost makes sense, of enjoying college baseball when it gets to this time, because for multiple reasons. One, we're approaching the annual MLB draft, of course, which you're like, oh, cool, we drafted this guy in the first round, fifth overall. We'll hope to see him in the next 3 to 5 years.
Right.
That's kind of, just how baseball works. At the same point, too, it's the highest level of college baseball you're going to see all year, but you approach the College World Series in Omaha, the festivities of it, just kind of how it feels like the baseball world comes together for the better part of really what is the entire month of June, as we're entering the month of June end of this weekend. So that's kind of how I take a look at it. That's the excitement that I bring, and it'll be interesting because, of course, the SEC tends to completely dominate, at least from a top to bottom, depth wise, of high level teams for baseball. Whereas, the Big Ten, they only have four teams in it, quote unquote. You have like the Sun Belt has five teams in it this year, which is really cool to see some of the smaller conferences that get multiple 2, 3, 4 bids into it. I mean, when you, for me, you hear about the blue bloods of the national sports. So of course you hear regularly, oh, Alabama, you hear, of UCLA, you hear of Florida, Florida State, North Carolina, Oregon, Texas. You're like, golly, like they just seem to be relevant in every sport. And that is true, but then you get some of those, teams that can pull off a Cinderella, Oral Roberts of a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I still consider like a Coastal Carolina, even though they won a national championship in the last decade, kind of as one of those, kind of type teams. Southern Mississippi, a squad that's a ninth seed overall nationally.
Right.
And that's cool. As a smaller school like that, one of those kind of non-traditional power schools. I think stuff like that is really darn cool. I think it's a cool opportunity to really celebrate around the country different universities, different colleges, and of course different traditions as well, with baseball just being a slight bit different overall with its traditions, of course, than what you see with the men's and women's basketball tournaments, what you see with the national volleyball tournament, what you see now with the expanded and vamped steroided up a college football playoff and some things of those sorts overall. At least that's my opinion, right, on my take on that.
Well, I think college baseball, college softball for that matter, is really interesting because, number one, the setup. You still have your traditional NCAA bracket of 64 that we often see, obviously, in men's and women's basketball, even though theirs is going to expand. We've touched on previously how the college football is at least toying with the idea of doubling the amount of teams in the college playoffs. But baseball has kind of been this way. It's unique in a sense that instead of having even 8 regions, which sometimes seems like that almost be, a lot, we've got 4 regions as far as naming goes in the men's and women's basketball, but it's broken down farther and farther than that. So it's interesting to have these 4 team regionals, and then when you win a regional, you take on somebody else in a best 2 out of 3 in a super regional before getting to that double elimination tournament in Omaha, which, of course, as far as I know, it's kind of split up into 2 groups of 4, basically, more or less, when you get to Omaha. But when you have these small little regionals that are just 4 teams, I mean, you look at what South Dakota did softball-wise. They started playing their best softball of the year. They lost to Top Seed Nebraska, came back. They won an elimination game before losing to, I can't remember who it was that they lost to prior to having them have a matchup against, Grand Canyon University. They lost to Grand Canyon before they had another matchup against Nebraska, and obviously Nebraska won that one to go to the Women's College World Series. Mm-hmm. So it's this interesting, it's kind of like you have it broken down into these groups of 4 to start things off with, and all you got to do is win this tournament with 3 other teams. So, from a coaching standpoint, I think it's interesting because, you try to break down how you match up with these teams, and all you got to do is win a couple games to potentially get a chance at that super regional. SDSU baseball, kind of like South Dakota softball, they got a losing record coming in. They're playing their best baseball of the year, and it's an opportunity for them to be on a much bigger stage down in Lincoln and get a chance to try and make something happen. And I think baseball is a unique sport because technically, I think, like, if you look here locally, NDSU, MSUM, Concordia, they've all been out of school now for a couple of weeks, if not maybe a little bit more. So you're going to have this tournament, and it's going to be what? Is it a week from this Friday, James, that it starts?
2 weeks from this Friday.
It starts Friday,
June 12th is when the 18 bracket happens. Because so for baseball, we'll give a little bit of love to the Women's College World Series as well that takes place beginning this weekend, which is tremendous. But the for baseball, this upcoming, because they release the bracket Monday at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
So their regionals, which is 16 brackets of four teams, which is a double elimination, you know, similar, that goes for this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yep.
If necessary, I believe Monday you'd get to it. If all things, you know, kind of all chaos breaks out with it.
Exactly.
And then not this up. So 2 weekends technically from now, you have your super regionals, which is two teams that are in a best of three series, which will also be a Friday, Saturday, Sunday type of thing that will, whoever wins out of those best of three series, the eight teams that come out on top that survive, they will be packing up their bags. They're going to go home, do some laundry, repack the bags. They're going to jump on either a bus or a plane, depending on where they're at, respectively. And they're going to be flying to Omaha for a day or two of practices before the tournament officially will begin on Friday, June 12th. And I'll find myself there for a weekend. And, you know, this year, the biggest goal I have is that, one, the hotel reservation sticks, so we don't have to go through that. And two, I need to make sure that when I reserve the golf tee times that I have the correct date put down, unlike that the schmuck that did it last year.
That would be helpful.
I might be the schmuck that I'm talking about as well. But the good news is the guy at the clubhouse, super cool. Yeah. I'm not going to rat him out because I'm not even going to say what course we were at. That way nobody can go back and look at the logs from 12 months ago.
Yeah.
But he goes, there's a McCarty, a no-call, no-show from a couple days ago. And I was like, huh?
You're like, uh-oh.
And it was their league day. And he's like, they start in 25 minutes. If you guys can keep pace, I'm going to sneak you on. I'm like, hey, heck yeah, thank you. Appreciate him. That saved me a lot of ridicule from the group. So that was nice of him. And this year, we're going to avoid that altogether by booking the correct time and date.
That makes it a lot easier. But
and course.
But this, but the, these two World Series that are coming up, first for the women starting this week, I mean, to some extent, you don't know how many games are going to be played, because if you look at just at these regionals, you've got four teams. So a team that potentially makes it out of the regionals to the super regionals, the minimum amount of games they're going to play to get there is going to be three. And that's if they win all three games and advance seamlessly. But you've got those three games because you got two opening games. You've got a loser out game, another loser out game. So, I mean, there's going to be six, seven games are going to be played over the course of these weekends in these regionals. And then, of course, it'll kind of simplify to two out of three at the super regionals. Then you've got this College World Series for both the men and women that can last up to, like, what, 10 days, maybe almost 14 days, depending on weather. Mm-hmm. So it is quite the unique situation, because for the first couple of days, you're going to have all eight teams in action. You're going to have teams advance. You're going to have loser out games probably the next day or two. So, I mean, you're going to have all of these fans from eight different schools in one location for at least probably a long three-day weekend. And I think it's just a unique experience. You've been down there a few times now, like three times so far, to experience it. And it's quite remarkable hearing what you've said about it. I mean, not only did they improve upon what was Rosenblatt Stadium to the new Rosenblatt Stadium. They've got blocks, Charles Schwab Field downtown.
Yep.
They've got
hosted by Creighton University. It's
they've
a part of that.
Blocks, guarded off so that way you can have just, you know, a block party, you might say, with food and music and entertainment going on, people coming and going to their favorite game, then hanging out in that area. So it is quite an event, and I think it's a bit underrated was my whole point of that, is the fact that, you know, we're going to be in June, Women's College World Series, the Men's College World Series coming up in a couple of weeks. School's been done since sometime in May, so these are college student-athletes that are still around their team, still getting to take place in this. And sometimes you look at the records. I know you mentioned this morning on Bonnie and Friends, the top team, 51-6. That's 57 baseball games they've played, I think, out of the Summit League. I think our teams, when they finish the season, they've played at least 51 to 55 games. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is a long college baseball season, and the same with softball. And I don't think we probably give them the recognition they deserve, because, I mean, they are playing a ton of games to get those games in. And granted, a lot of these teams, they're warmer weather teams, are able to get more games in. You look at a team like, I think NDSU this year, I think they might have played 35 to 40 games as well. So some of these other teams, they're tacking on an extra dozen or more games, and they are grinding things out, trying to get to that College World Series. And it's always a great showcase, too, of a lot of guys are going to be playing professionally at the next level.
Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, you can play as, for example, UCLA, you're at 57. You can play as few as, if I do my math correctly here, as few as five games. You can play as many as eight.
In a tournament, yeah.
From the time the regional starts this weekend to the time you land in Omaha.
Sure, yeah.
For the first round of that tournament, for the first game of that double elimination tournament. So, I mean, you could be, you know, you're going to break 60 games. If you make the College World Series, you're going to be over 60 games before you get there.
Definitely.
We've seen champions that have hit that 70-game mark or right about there. If I remember right, last year, was it LSU? They were like 54-15, 53-15. They were right shy of that 70-game threshold for a college baseball, which is a ton of ball games.
Yeah, that's a lot.
But it's so cool. It's the way the fan base has traveled, the excitement surrounding it, and that's part of the what adds so much to that atmosphere, to that environment. That's what makes it so darn cool. And I think it's
the one sport that obviously outside of, say, let's look at junior league hockey, because our league here in the USHL, they play 62 regular season games plus the playoffs. It is probably the most voluminous as far as number of games played by players that are not professional that's out there. And it's kind of like, it's amazing how many games they play. And then for someone like myself who's not a huge baseball guy, you kind of, like I said, I kind of gloss over it other than the fact like, oh, here are the rankings. Here we got SDSU in the tournament. We've got this UCLA team that you're talking about that, I mean, to me almost seems like not one of the blue bloods of college baseball, even though these last couple of seasons, they made it to the College World Series last year, and they're looking to try and do it this year as one of the top teams in the country.
Exactly. And, you know, from my perspective, now, keep in mind, I have experienced men's hockey regionals, right? I've experienced those at the Division I level. I've experienced Division II basketball tournaments. Yep. I've experienced a little bit of the from the regional aspect, the Division II football tournament.
Yep.
I've experienced the FCS football playoffs, right? And so I have some examples, but I don't have a ton of examples from where I've really engulfed myself in my life. But when you look at the FCS playoff, I think what they do so well is, now I wish I could have gotten to Nashville last year, but I couldn't, right? I think what they do so well, though, is they encapsulate a whole week around that for the most part, right? You know, they have this, when it was a Monday night, it really helped, you know, push things along. When it's a Sunday afternoon, I think it still worked out all right. The Saturday game, it made everything tougher because now you're taking off days in two separate weeks, more likely than not. But you have 2 days before the game, you have a media day. The game before the game, you have some fan festivity. I mean, really the 2 or 3 days beforehand, the restaurants around the area, the village area, they start to have festivities. They're starting to bring fans in. They're starting to have deals. They're starting to put up the flags, all those different things of those fan bases. They do a really good job, and it's a fun, you know, 3 or 4 days for your school if you're one of two teams that makes it there. But you know, you have a week between each game. You have a home field thing, which I think is tremendous for the university. I think it's so cool. Like with when North Dakota State went, it was cool to see. You know, it didn't feel like it on Wednesday of it each week, but if it was whether it was a Friday night game or a Saturday afternoon game, when that day started, you open up your eyes the day of game day, the whole city would start to rally and revolve around it, whether it was law enforcement going and helping with the increased traffic, whether it was the tailgates that were starting up, whether it was local businesses that were pushing, you know, their services out towards the stadium, the venue, the parking lot, the tailgates. And it's a ton of fun, but it's like a one-off, one-day thing.
It is, yeah.
With college hockey, it turns into you have 3 days worth of regionals, right? Or I guess you got
three days worth of regionals.
So you have a day with games, a day that you're off, and then boom, another day with games, and you're off there. So it's like a weekend.
Yeah.
Same thing with for college football, the FBS level. You have this like weekend where, you know, the game's played on a Saturday, or it's played on a Sunday, or it's played on a Monday, whichever it is. And you have like the day before the and then the day of, and then it's gone. And if you're lucky enough to advance, you're off to a new city. Mm-hmm. I think that's, you know, something. Volleyball, you know, they have the regional venues, kind of like what basketball yeah. does. Basketball, it's, you know, over 3 or 4 days. It's like, oh, it's a party. And then it goes silent, radio silent.
Yeah.
And then you're off to your new venue.
Mm-hmm.
What baseball is, that's just a little bit different. I think that's why I like it so much, is if your team goes and if you have the time, the energy, the resource, the availability, yeah. the horse in the race, everything that, that entails, I mean, you could feasibly... You know, whether you're covering it, whether you have, you know, somebody that you know personally that's in it that helps drive you towards the tournament, you could feasibly be there for 12 or 13 days, which is crazy. And it's at one yeah. venue. So if you go weekend one, if you go in the middle of the week because you think, oh, it'll be more affordable for tickets, that's to an yeah. extent true. I mean, we'll spend $110, $120 on an outfield ticket on a Saturday night game.
Yep.
And then you go to a loser bracket game on a Monday at 1 o'clock and you're getting them for $18. It's yeah. kind of funny how that works.
Oh, yeah, it always works that
it's
way.
It's still
yeah.
high level baseball, but you're just running through a couple games a day for what is legitimately can turn out to be
almost
17 days, I think,
oh,
or
yeah.
total, or something along those lines. Excuse me, that's a little bit long. It's like 11 days of that sorts, because you work your way down from team. So it's like 11-ish yeah, days,
well,
I would say.
Think about what we did when we went down to Topeka when the Dragons made it to the regional championship mm-hmm. game, and that was just the regionals. That was a region of 8 teams. It was 3 games over the course of about 4 days or so. The amount of time we spent down there and kind of living day to day, not knowing whether you're going to go home or not. Imagine if you're covering one of these baseball teams and it's just like, okay, we could be done in 3 days and come home. You lose 2 games and you're going home. But if you win and then you lose that game, then you go through the loser's bracket and you keep winning and you keep going, and then you get to the College World Series Championship, which I believe they've switched that these days. That's not just a 1 game. That's a 2 out of 3, isn't it?
It's the best 2 out of 3, yep.
And so think about that. Think about being on the road covering whatever, you know, LSU won the national title last year, you're telling me?
Yep, LSU. And they didn't make the bracket this year. They finished, was it 30-28, I believe?
Oh, wow. Well,
a couple games above. And so they're like the 8th team or 9th team. It's right about, they're right on the edge of double digits of teams that have won the national championship and then missed the bracket the following
year.
Could
you imagine being in Omaha for basically 2 weeks, because you're going to want to get there the day before, do some stories, whatever.
Exactly.
Be there for 2 weeks waiting, because some of those days is just downtime, waiting, maybe getting some interviews done with players, coaches before their next game. And they win, they lose, they win, and they keep going. And as soon as they get, now they're in this best of 3 final that's going to be done over at least 3 days minimum, and you're going to be there for like 2 weeks. I mean, I can't imagine my wife would be real thrilled about, you know, well, that's great that you get to cover a College World Series and your team keeps winning, but how much longer until you're home?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
but
they got to have some good family structure back home, to say the least, for those reporters.
I think it's just what's so cool about it, though, because you, in my opinion, you know, everything is built around relationships.
Oh, absolutely.
You see people for... You know, you see somebody every day for 10 or 11 days. It's out of 2 or 3. You know, you start to recognize people. Mm-hmm. You recognize servers. You recognize business owners. You recognize other fans that you sat next to at a different game, or somebody that you were in line with to grab a beverage, mm-hmm. or somebody that you just happened to cross paths with because, for example, they have boards of cornhole that are ready to rock and roll. You can just, you know, you can play some cornhole, which is pretty cool for during the block parties that they have. And all of a sudden, you know, you have a group that's next to you, you end up meeting people and you're like, oh, okay, this is a cool, fun experience. And I think it's something that just separates itself from any other sports tournament, because everybody else, you're there, you know, you have this like day or two of buildup where nobody's there, but you're like, I hear it. Oh, it's coming. It's here. And then 72 hours, it's like poof.
Well,
and God.
And like I said, sometimes, you know, maybe this works better for the college students that want to go watch their buddies that are on the baseball team, or they're just fans of the college's baseball team. It's interesting, too, because, you know, college football playoffs do carry over into the next semester, and sometimes it's over that Christmas break, et cetera. But this is so unique, like I said, because this is in June.
Mm-hmm.
School year is done, and you're still following your team. You know, parents are following it. So maybe it allows parents of these players to be able to take that vacation time in June to go to Omaha mm-hmm. and spend as much time there as they can mm-hmm. watching their son play or their daughter play down in Oklahoma. So, I mean, it's just a unique experience, and especially to have a 1 week or even, you know, a week and a half basically all built around this tournament. I think it's a great experience, and it's mm-hmm. it's one of the most unique college championships we have in both softball and baseball.
Yeah, it's absolutely tremendous. And in the last 30 seconds, give that quick word, and we'll give a little bit more hopefully towards the end of the week, but the Women's College World Series in Oklahoma City, 8 teams remaining. They start on Thursday at 11 a.m. Texas Tech battles Mississippi State, followed up by Tennessee against Texas. And then the evening session is at 6 o'clock. It starts Alabama against UCLA into Arkansas battling Nebraska, which, of course, played the Summit League champion in South Dakota for softball. This is all in the family of ESPN stations throughout the whole tournament. Check it out. High-level softball, really darn cool. It's a double elimination, and you're going to enjoy yourselves. But we're out of time for tonight. I wish we had a little bit more time because I got consumed by the experiences of Omaha and didn't really shout out Oklahoma City as much as we should have. But until tomorrow night, have a great night, y'all, and God bless.
Yep, you betcha. Mm-hmm. Bye.